It's the return of the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast on the week that was in Bates Athletics. After a historic 2025-26 that saw three different Bates teams win NESCAC titles, how will the Bobcats follow up this year? It all starts this weekend as women's soccer's new head coach makes his debut. Men's soccer looks to build on last year's momentum, and number 5 nationally ranked field hockey starts their defense of their NESCAC title. We preview it all on the season premiere of the Bates Bobcast. The Bates women's soccer team has a new head coach this year, and he brings championship pedigree to the Bobcats. Johnny McAdam won an NCAA Division II championship as an assistant coach in 2018, and he most recently was on the staff at Division I Fordham University. Now, his first head coaching job is in Division III with the Bobcats. The women's soccer team is at Williams this Saturday for their season opening match, which gets underway at 10 a.m. Then their home opener is set for next Tuesday, the 8th, when they host Emmanuel for a 6 o'clock match under the lights at Russell Street Field. Johnny McAdam, new head coach of the Bates women's soccer team, joining us here on the Bobcast. First of all, welcome to Bates.
Thank you very much.
You're from Scotland originally, so tell me a little bit about growing up in Scotland and what eventually, I guess, brought you to the United States.
Grew up in Scotland. Football, as we call it, is still the biggest sport. We have rugby, we have cricket, but football is the biggest. So naturally, got into playing at a very early age. Pretty good as a youngster. Signed my first professional contract at 16. So I played for a team called Livingston in Scotland. Like any youngster at that age, I thought, that's me, I've made it. I'm going to be a professional the rest of my life. Wasn't quite to be, so I was released before getting to that first team contract, before the good stuff, really. And it was at that point where, I wanted to get my education, had to do something a little bit different, and I started learning about possibilities of coming over to the US. And didn't know anything about it, didn't know anything about NCAA, amateurism, and all these different compliance issues, but I ended up at a school in Des Moines, Iowa, of all places. And at that age, I don't think I'd even heard of Iowa, but what led me to Grandview University in the NAIA, in Des Moines, Iowa, was purely the fact that there were Scottish guys already on the team.
Okay.
So joined that team, and it was an amazing experience. Loved it. Our team was awesome. Had a ton of success there. And it was when I was there, I was captain for 2 years, and I started to kind of get a feel for life after playing, and wasn't sure early on if I would ever want to be a coach, but towards the later end of my playing, I knew that's the direction I wanted to go into. So I started coaching a little bit towards the tail end of my playing career. And then once I hung up the boots for good, it was a natural transition. And I ended up finding my way to Connecticut for my first college job at Bridgeport.
I'm curious, because you mentioned, signing a professional contract at a young age, and then you were able to play college in America because it was NAIA, or what was the rules
there? It was NAIA.
Yeah.
It was NAIA, so
you couldn't play at NCAA
school. I could not play NCAA, when I first started looking at coming over here, I didn't know any of these rules.
Right.
I didn't know the difference between NCAA, NAIA.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you the difference between University of Bridgeport and UCLA. For me, it was just about finding, where I could be eligible, what was going to be a good fit for me. But the NAIA, they've changed the rules now, I believe, where they're a little bit more strict on the amateurism stuff. But I was never a first-team player. So I'd signed, but I was never a first-team player. And it worked out for me. I loved Des Moines, loved Iowa. Great experience for me. And I was happy I made the move.
You mentioned coaching at Bridgeport. That's Division II. And I believe you were part of a coaching staff that won a national championship.
That's right.
2018, take us through that experience.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I was there for several years, and we always had a good competitive team, always nationally ranked. Probably never considered in any of the seasons, even the season we won it in 2018, as one of the big favorites. But we're always a good competitive team. But in that year in 2018, everything just clicked for us, team chemistry wise, staying healthy, which is of course always key in every season, and even just the little things throughout the season going your way. Like the Final Four was in Pittsburgh, and it was, they cleared the snow and started the first week of December, they cleared the snow for us, it was freezing, and we were up against San Diego. And we walked out onto that field for warm-up, and they were favored against us. And our players, they've been in Connecticut the last couple of months, they were used to the cold. So we were straight out, warming up, getting a little bit of buzz, passing the ball around. I looked over at their bench, and they were still in their winter jackets, under the dugout, right. Weren't quite ready to play a game. And I just had a feeling this is going to go our way. And then in the final, we played the kind of juggernaut in D2, which was Grand Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd won 3 of the previous 5 national championships and had beat us in the regular season 6-0.
Oh, wow.
2 months prior.
Yeah.
And we went into that final and we snuck a goal with 12 minutes to go and hung on and won the game 1-0. So everything just kind of clicked, but unbelievable moment. Special group of players there. Really an amazing coaching staff that we had, and certainly a season I won't forget.
Now, is that women's soccer then?
That was women's.
Yep. Okay. Have you always been coaching women's soccer then?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Since I came back to the U.S. to coach college, it's always been on the women's side.
Gotcha. Yep. So, I mean, going from player to then women's soccer coaching, I mean, what was that transition like for you, you know, after you graduated college?
Yeah, I think going into coaching, either with men or women, it's always an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of always want to hang on to playing as long as you can.
Yeah.
But no, it's definitely an adjustment. You got to think about the game differently. When you're a player, you're just so, a lot of times, single-minded, thinking about your own game, your own preparation. During the warm-up, you're thinking about yourself, during every single practice leading to games. And now going into coaching, it's about the bigger picture, and you're now managing 32 people rather than just yourself. So, that adjustment was the obvious one. But then you look at the women's game, it's moved so far in the last, I don't know, decade, if you want to call it. I tried to look at a lot of similarities. The game's played a little bit differently, but I try approach it the same as I would if I was coaching a men's game.
Yeah, and you come to us from Fordham, which is a Division I program.
Yes.
So you have now touched every part of college soccer.
I have.
You played at NAIA, you've coached Division II, Division I, and now your first time in Division III and
yep.
your first head coaching job. So
right.
What appealed to you about, you know, moving from Fordham to here, and obviously the chance to be a head coach, I'm sure, but what was the main appeal for you?
I saw the opportunity here at Bates, and I'd never been on campus, wasn't too sure about, I knew a little bit about the NESCAC and I knew about the program, but it wasn't until I got here for the interview and I left the interview just with an amazing feeling.
Mm.
And I really wanted the job after I left the interview, and I just got, like I said, got a good feeling with meeting with the players, meeting some of the other head coaches, some other department heads. And yeah, got that special feeling where we can do something here. And coming from a Fordham, it's Division I, but I also don't see a whole lot of the similarities between the two programs. It's, you know, very academic school at Fordham, similar to here at Bates. I look at the NESCAC as Division I level players, Division I level talent that maybe just chose a different path for when they get to college, where they can balance a little bit more with academics, social, and maybe other interests that they have. But the level is still incredibly high and the talent's here. So that, of course, was appealing to me. And yeah, even just jumping into these first 4 days of preseason, just the level intensity that the players are bringing, how much they want it, how competitive they are, how much they're pushing each other, how serious they're taking the team culture part of it. These are all things you see at Division I.
Yeah, going from assistant to head coach, who have you maybe leaned on, maybe coaches you've had to give you any tips, I guess, for your first head coaching job, right?
Yeah. No, it's you try and learn from everybody that you've worked with, but certainly the main coach over the last 10 years of my coaching career has been Magnus Nillerud. So he was the head coach at Bridgeport when I was there.
Okay.
And then he took the Fordham head coaching job, and
gotcha.
I went with him. So
okay.
We've been together pretty much close to 10 years. He's had a few phone calls over the last couple of months, just as I've prepped for this. He's had a couple of phone calls during preseason, and yeah, he's expected to get a few more as the season progresses. But learned a lot from him, not just, you know, on the field stuff, but, you know, management of players, big on team culture, which is something I'm going to carry on into my head coaching role. So, yeah, Magnus would be the name that I would go with.
Excellent. Well, the women's soccer team will have one of the first home events of the entire fall. We do have a cross-country alumni meet coming up on Saturday the 5th, but then for women's soccer, you're home Tuesday the 8th, 6 o'clock, Russell Street Field against Emmanuel. So it's a pretty short preseason, but yep. What are your initial thoughts on the team so far?
And I've learned that it's a little bit of a unique preseason, so it's typically not this short. We have 7 days of training before the first day of classes and an additional 3 days until the first official game. So it's a lot to cram in a pretty short period of time. The girls, I'm sure, are already starting to feel a little sore and tired because we've been going doubles. But yeah, I think what I've seen so far, the team's in a great spot. And I've just loved the intensity they're bringing. The work rate has been tremendous. Preseason's tough. Even if the sessions aren't always fitness and that camp type atmosphere to it. But just getting out there for double sessions is hard enough. And we've got team meetings in between. Freshmen have got orientation throughout the day. You're mixing in media day stuff and other obligations that the players have. So they're kind of been nonstop now for 4 days. And I haven't heard one complaint. They haven't let the level drop in practice. If anything, it's increasing every single session. So really happy with the group. Really excited about the rest of the season. And yeah, see what we can achieve.
Yeah, I mentioned the home opener, but your actual season opener is a NESCAC match.
Correct.
Right away against Williams, Saturday the 5th at 10 a.m. at Williamstown. So you jump right in there, right? Right away, NESCAC play.
Yeah, no messing about with that one. Yeah. So it's straight in there. But I think that's perfect. I like that. Let's see where we're at. Let's test ourselves against the best. I think we've got a confident group now. I'm confident with this team. But why not start with a team that's right up there nationally ranked? Mm-hmm. And we want to put ourselves against the best. We want to test ourselves to see what we've got and see how our preparations have been. That'll really give us a good indication of where we're at as a team.
Yeah, last year women's soccer was able to get a 0-0 right. draw against yep. Williams. That was a home match. Yep. But looking at this team, you know, what kind of style can we expect, coaching style from you, I guess, or, you know, in terms of playing style for the players, what do you really emphasize as a coach?
I wouldn't necessarily say there's a Johnny McAdam style of play. Mm-hmm. For me, it's about looking at the group of players that we have and how can we best maximize this group. So that can mean many different things. And that's what preseason is going to be about for us, is really learning what are the strengths of this group. How can we maximize the players that we have? Once we get an understanding of what we're really good at, that will become what we play to. So that's what preseason is going to be about. There's a lot of learning in here, finding out who we are, what's our team identity going to be, what's our philosophy, and then really kick on and push with that.
You've got a senior captain in Ruby Hill and a junior captain in Gwen Jamison. Tell me about these two players. What makes them such strong leaders?
Yeah, it's the respect they have from their teammates. Mm. I think that's one of the main qualities that we look for in captains, is they're two players that the rest of the group look to. And it's on the field, it's off the field, but they command that respect just with how they carry themselves. There's a maturity there, both very good players themselves as well. But yeah, for me, it's listening to the group, listening to the players. Coach Devin, who's been here a number of years, and it's not a decision picking captains that we take lightly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're very happy with these two.
Yeah, how's it been working with an experienced assistant coach at Bates, specifically Devin Bagby, to help your transition a little bit? I'm sure.
It's been amazing. You come into a new program. There's a lot of unknown, behind the scenes stuff. Just getting to know the players, figuring out the little intricacies of practice scheduling and working with other departments. There's a lot that goes into it. So if you come in there with no one really to help, or no one that's really been there and done it, it's 10 times harder. So Devin's been awesome. And he's, again, someone that the players really respect. He's on top of everything. He's got a real understanding of the game, tactics, recruiting. So I'm very happy to have Devin stay on.
Excellent. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to mention about the upcoming season, or anything else you wanted to mention about the team we haven't got to talk about?
I mean, just anyone that's out there listening, I think we've got a special group here, and there's a team that wants to do well. We want to make the playoffs, we want to play an exciting brand of football. So if you've got some Tuesday nights free or some Saturday afternoons free when we've got games, we would love to have your support.
Excellent. Johnny McAdam, new head coach of Bates Women's Soccer, coming to us from Fordham, originally from Scotland. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast.
Absolutely, anytime.
The men's soccer team is coming off their best season since 2019 as they posted a winning record of 7-6-3 while also making the NESCAC quarterfinals under head coach Ben Brewster. Now, Brewster and the Bobcats look to build on that momentum entering the 2026 season, which begins this Saturday when they visit Williams for a match that gets underway at noon. Fall sports are here, and we're previewing the men's soccer season here on the Bobcast with head coach Ben Brewster, now entering his third year, I believe, right, here at Bates. And last year, Ben, some big wins, right, on the road at Amherst, on the road at Bowdoin, some teams that were, one was defending champions, the other ended up going quite deep in the NCAAs last year. What did that say about your team, to get those wins, to instill belief in the guys? And if so, how do you expect it to kind of carry over to this year?
Yeah, certainly. I think those were some good results for us on the road, and we were able to do some things and accomplish some things last year that were our goals as a team and haven't been done in a little while in the program. So we were back in the NESCAC playoffs for the first time since 2019, which was a great first step. So that certainly instills belief, and guys have now played in a playoff game, and the challenge now is can we improve on that? Can we get back in the NESCAC playoffs, and can we improve on it? And it's really just doing the right things each and every day.
You were in the NESCAC quarterfinal. What? It was 1-0 against Tufts, and it was a penalty kick, right?
Yeah, in the 78th minute. Yep.
Yeah. And, I mean, they ended up, what, winning the national title?
They did.
So you're that – I mean, soccer is such a game where you're that close to being right there, with the number one team in the country, right? I mean – that's got to be frustrating, but also encouraging, I suppose.
Yeah, it's good. We gave it a good go in that quarterfinal game. Tufts was the better team as they beat us and then went on to do well in November and into December. So, again, it was great experience for us to be back in the NESCAC playoffs, and can we get in there again? It's such a good league that if you get in, you're giving yourself then a chance to play an extra game or an extra couple games in November, which is obviously fun for everyone.
Tell us about some points of emphasis so far during, preseason. It's a short preseason, but you get some, right?
Yeah, short preseason. So our real goals, we keep it pretty simple from the start. We want our guys to come back in fit and healthy and safe from the summer. We want to welcome. We have 10 first years who have come in this year. So welcome our first years into the team and then welcome our juniors who are all abroad in the spring, who are now seniors, back onto the team. That those pieces have started well. We're 3 days in here into our double sessions, and we're sort of ticking off little goals along the way and preparing for our scrimmage on Sunday, and then open up with an NESCAC game at Williams on September 5th.
Yeah, last year you had 4 all NESCAC players, 2 of them returning this year. You've got Chris Bianco, who's now a sophomore, and Hewitt Stevenson, who's now a junior. Sometimes defenders don't get the same amount of love. They don't, they don't get a chance to score goals. Tell us about Hewitt Stevenson. What makes him so good back there on defense?
Yeah, so Hewitt came and came in as a first year. So this would have been a couple years ago now. And it took him near half a season to get up to speed of what the college game was, both sort of athletically and physically and the speed of play. And since then, he's taken off. He's hardworking. He's understated. He's a great 1v1 defender. He has great levels of emotional control. He's fit. He can get involved in the attack. So Hewitt's had worked so incredibly hard to just become better as a soccer player, and it's translating to. I was happy for him last year when he got the award, and I think he's excited to push forward again this year.
And Chris Bianco pulled off something last year that's pretty tough to do. He played full season men's soccer and then went right in and played men's basketball as well. That's a tough thing because the seasons kind of overlap a little bit. And, he got up to speed in basketball pretty quickly, but it was all NESCAC as a rookie. I mean, what does he bring to the table? And obviously it's a lot of speed. I saw that much.
Yes, on both the basketball court and the soccer field. He's fast. He's competitive. He's got a strong, strong mentality. And he just, through his mentality, he just – often outwills the opponent, in my opinion. He's a competitive, tough kid, and excited for him to take a step forward again this year, too.
And, one guy who did not get all NESCAC, but I thought maybe should have, is George Nassar, the goalie. I mean, he has had some great moments here at Bates. He's a junior now, but he's been starting since a rookie season. What's his next step as a goalkeeper? I mean, because he's already had 2 very good years, I think.
Yeah, it's just pushing forward again. So last year on this time, we were on the Bobcast, and we talked about how George pushed forward from his first year to his sophomore year. And from the early days, it looks like he's done so again. He's worked hard over the summer, And he looks confident and strong so far in our preseason trainings. And we've added a first-year goalkeeper, Isaac, who's raised the level of our goalkeeper group as well. And Isaac's doing a nice job as well to compete with George.
We've already talked about one of the captains, Hewitt Stevenson, on defense there as a junior. You've got a variety of positions, right? You've got Noah Greif, also a defender, Andrew Goddard, and Antonio Mesa, a forward.
It's worked out well where we have some defenders and then an attacking player who's a captain for us. And those guys were elected captains by their teammates for their contributions on and off the field, and they've done a nice job along with our other seniors who are Benny and
yep.
and Craddock and Luke. You know, that's really a big leadership in my opinion on any team is your senior class and your captains, and those guys have done a great job to one, set the standards themselves, and then also welcome these first years into the fold.
Yeah, Antonio Mesa, one of those captains, ended up with 4 goals last year, which was second on the team. Got some great height, 6'6". As a forward, you know, how do you hope to see him use that height?
Yes, big Tony, score some headers. So Tony transitioned about halfway through his time at Bates from a center back to a center forward. And it's been a good transition for him, and he's put on strength, and he's worked his finishing, and he's a handful up there. So he's more of a target forward. We'll look to play into his feet and then also get him in the box and put balls in the box where Tony can go attack them. So another guy who's he was actually helping this summer with the Consigli. He had an internship with Consigli, so he was working on our new facility on campus. So that was great. He was around all summer and working hard, and then on the field, it's translated well so far through the first few practices.
Excellent. Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned, you know, Noah Greif, defender, Stevenson, also defender. How do they work together back there? What's their different roles?
Yeah, so Noah and Andrew are central defenders, and then Hewitt's an outside back. Andrew and Noah will be sort of in the middle, the two guys in the middle. They're, mm-hmm. you know, both strong in the air. They have good leadership qualities in terms of leading the back line, and then Hewitt will be more on the outside where he's going up and down and defending some of the other team's strong wingers. So, yeah, those are their roles on the team.
Defense seems to be the name of the game a little bit, right?
yeah, it's important. Our structure and being as strong, that's really our backbone, is the ability to not concede goals, and their structure and our ability for guys to make plays on the defensive end is an important part.
You mentioned Benny earlier, the senior Bojo. He was hurt last year, right?
Benny was hurt last year.
So it's nice to have him back. I mean, what's that mean to the team? Because he had a big season a couple years ago, I remember.
Yeah, I'm so pleased for Benny. I really am, because Benny walked onto the team as a sophomore, and he scored 2 goals in his first 3 games. He he's had a great impact. And then, unfortunately, had an injury and was out for a period of time, but transitioned into a team manager role last fall. And, you know, if you talk about selflessness and putting the team first and work ethic, which are all things that are important to us as a program. Benny's been incredible in all those ways. And so he's been out for a long period of time. And then he came back. He just won our fitness test.
Oh, nice.
And he's getting back up to speed. But yeah, in terms of the things that are important for us as a program, having a group of guys that are selfless, team first mentality, and the work rate that Benny possesses, it's so good to have him back on the field.
You mentioned the fitness test. That's the first thing you do when they come back here. Bright and early, the first day of practice is a fitness test. What is it? Do you describe what it entails?
Yeah, a series of 400-meter runs.
Okay.
So it's good. It gets some high-speed distance in. It gets some volume in, and the guys did well. So it's been a good start because the guys worked hard this summer and came back fit.
How do you win? Just the fastest combined time?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Nice. And so Benny's got some good speed then there.
Yeah, Benny worked hard this summer. So yeah, both from rehabbing and getting healthy, and then also with his fitness work.
Are there any glue guys who maybe won't, again, show up in the box score with goals or assists, but kind of help make the team go up and down the pitch?
I'd like to think we have a lot of guys that are that way.
Yeah.
I think some of the seniors that I just mentioned, Craddock and Luke and mm-hmm. Benny, for example, are guys that have played a big role here in helping us push forward as a program. I think looking to the next class and guys that have played minutes like Drew, Jean-Baptiste and Julian and Zach Perrin, those guys will all play sort of a big role from both the leadership side and helping us continue to push forward. So all, you know, the juniors and seniors along with the captains will continue to be a big part of it.
What's your main message to the first years coming in? Because we have you have a number of first years. So tell me about your main message to them. Obviously, we don't want to single anyone out, putting pressure on anybody. What's your main message about their transition to college soccer?
Doing well so far. So they've put in the work this summer. So the transition to what college soccer is hasn't been as extreme because they've come in fit. It's just they're a lot of them away from home for the first time. They're in the middle of first year orientation right now. So they ran out of practice today at 8:30. Quickly showered, and then we're in an orientation meeting at 9 a.m. So it's just getting their bearings and taking care of their bodies off the field. And just, again, can you just stay so focused on just what the next event or the next thing ahead of you is? Is it a first-year orientation session? Is it getting a good meal in the dining hall? Is it getting some rest between sessions? And don't get overwhelmed. Don't get overwhelmed.
Five of your first six matches are on the road. Which is interesting because you could look at it as a negative because that's a tough start to the year. But also for the men's soccer team, I feel like you've gotten off to fast starts the past couple seasons, a chance to do that again and then have a lot of home matches down the stretch. How are you kind of viewing the start to this season where, again, your only home match in September until the very end of the month is Hustle on the 15th?
Yeah, it'll be so September will have to be some road warriors, and then we get to play on Russell through October. So it's just the way the schedule fell this year, and it will be a little bit different next year. I think that what's unique is this preseason, based on where the calendar fell, is a little bit shorter, and also we start with a NESCAC game, where in the past couple of years we've started at St. Joe's. So, no, it'll be great. Everyone's in the same position at the end of the day for looking at all the other teams. Everyone has a shortened preseason, and we just get ready and best prepared to go to Williams to do our best.
Sounds good. Any other thoughts you wanted to mention about the team? Anything else people should know about the team? Well, they can expect to see this year. We haven't got to talk about perhaps.
No, just excited. I think there's a good spirit among the group right now, and just layering in day by day as much as we can. So I think we're excited. The players are doing well, and we're excited for the last few days of preseason before classes start.
And you have a new assistant coach this year, right?
We do, yep. So we have Filippo started in February, so he's a full-time assistant coach, and then Amo is still helping out on staff as well.
Oh, okay.
And then we have Jonah still as our goalkeeper coach, and then we hired a social media manager, Mohammed. So it's a good crew of us here that are helping out on staff.
All right, Ben Brewster, he's the head coach of the Bates men's soccer team. They open Saturday, September 5th at Williams. That's at noon. You can find the links to follow live online. GoBatesBobcast.com. Looking ahead, the home opener is Tuesday, September 15th at 7 o'clock against Huston right there on Russell Street Field. Under the lights, that should be fun to finally get the home match after three road matches to start the year. Ben, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron.
The number 5 nationally ranked Bates field hockey team has to wait slightly longer to start their season as the defending NESCAC champions also visit Williams this weekend. But their game is set for this Sunday at 11 a.m. Then they host Bowdoin on Wednesday, September 9th at 7 p.m. on Campus Avenue Field. And head coach Danny Kogut gives us a look at what the Bobcats will do for an encore after breaking the program record for wins in one season last year. Well, the field hockey season begins on the road Sunday at Williams. We have head coach Danny Kogut joining us on the Bobcast to preview the campaign for the number 5 nationally ranked Bobcats. And field hockey, it's never easy. I'm looking at the schedule, and 5 of your 6 opponents to start the season are ranked, and the other one, Thomas College, always a tough opponent as well. So tell us a little bit about this bit of a gauntlet the team goes through every year. I mean, I'm sure they're excited about it. The veterans have gone through it in the past, but it's got to be a shining opportunity to go on the road right away to face, you know, a team as highly ranked as Williams.
Yeah, there's certainly no easy games here or no games to kind of get us settled into the season. We hit the ground running with Williams, but I think that we started talking about this last year and how important our preparation for this season would be. And we have incredible leaders who really set the tone for you. This season's determined in the off season. Whether you're abroad or on campus, there's things that you can be doing every day to prepare us for that next season. And they've taken that very seriously, and they've come in fit, ready. They certainly did what they could to give themselves the best outlook for this early season run that we have ahead of us.
And certainly talking about some of the returnees, starting with senior captain Haley Dwight, who was a first team All-American last year as a junior on defense. I mean, she anchors that defense. She makes a ton of plays, obviously, for the team. Defensive saves is kind of her thing. What is it about her that she's able to get so many defensive saves? It seems like right place, right time, and knowing what to do, right?
Right place, right time, and I mean, just so much guts in how she plays. There, she's never gonna stop playing until, like, there's an absolute whistle, right? She plays through everything. She plans ahead, three steps ahead. I think she reads the play incredibly well. She can see when breakdowns are about to happen. She's very proactive in her defensive approach. And so is Amy with her, right, in that center back position. So they just read the play incredibly well, and I think they minimize opportunities against them, but then they're also prepared for those what-if moments. I mean, thinking back to some of the defensive saves Haley's had, 95% of defenders probably would have said, oh, that's good and done and going in the goal, and she'll just come out of nowhere.
Yeah, you mentioned Amy LaBelle, another senior captain, another defender. And both those players, not only are they great defenders, but they also can help out on penalty corners. I know they both have scored and assisted on penalty corners before. And so how valuable is that to have your defenders be some of your better offensive threats at times, right?
Yeah, no, they certainly are. They're incredible assets to that attacking penalty corner unit as well. So it's great. I think for them, they do a lot of hard work in that backfield, and they love coming out for APCs. It's like a reward, right, to get into that attacking circle. So they have a great attitude about it, and I think that makes them successful because they enter that space excited for the opportunity to score.
Are there a lot of defenders out there who are offensive threats on penalty corners because maybe they have that skill set of, you know, for lack of a better term, hitting the ball hard?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they have great distribution skills and fundamentals in terms of, like, hitting, sweeping. So they typically are on attacking corners. I think you see that across the board.
Yeah. And then the other captain is junior captain Elsa Copeland, who really had a breakout season as a sophomore. I noticed the speed kind of reminded me of, like, Taylor Loft back in the day, racing up the sideline. Tell us about Elsa and what you're looking for her next step as a junior here.
Yeah, so again, her speed is an incredible asset to us. I think she's continued to work on her skills as a left-handed player to become more and more versatile. And so that will just increase her ability to move across the field both left and right, which is really helpful. She's also a great leader, so we saw really early on, even back when she was a first year, that she had something pretty special in just her communication, leadership style, her dedication to, we talk about this 22 hours on our team. So the 22 hours that you aren't on the field, what are you doing to become an elite athlete in terms of sleep, hydration, nutrition? And she's somebody who leads that space. She's eager to learn. She's eager to share what she's learning with her teammates. So she's going to be huge for us, I think, both continuing to push the team in the right direction to become strong, competitive athletes, and then also on the field. She's just, yeah, she's so fast.
Yeah, and this team, obviously, last year, I feel like the calling card was certainly the defense. I mean, the NESCAC tournament, you know, you look at what the defense was able to do in that alone to win the NESCAC. That was huge. Anchored by the goalie, Ava Donahue, who just, I mean, it's too bad the all-NESCAC voting was before the NESCAC tournament because she basically had the NESCAC tournament of her life.
Yeah.
Tell us about that breakthrough. I mean, she's always been good, but she took it to another level in the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, she's just such an incredible goalkeeper with both instinct, her reflexes, her speed, her ability to command the circle. She's communicating better than ever this season. So we're really excited about what she brought back as a junior. But yeah, we have an incredibly strong defensive unit. And then you can't forget Caroline, right? The four of them from last season are all back this season. And we're really excited for that space on the field.
Yeah. On the offensive side, Brooke Maloney-Kohlenberg obviously graduated. She was an All-American as well as Haley Dwight on defense. But so in terms of the scoring, Brooke did score a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But last year we talked about who's going to replace Anna Cody. Well, you know, Brooke and Elsa and stepped up and everything. So now this year, who are you looking for kind of on the offensive side? Who you should be excited about, along with Elsa Copeland, to kind of fill that scoring void there?
Yeah, we have quite a few, actually. So pretty deep chart right now for that position. You have Sopho Sullivan, who had a great run postseason as well. She's back. Sophia Cordoni, really talented hands in front of the cage. She's looking great this season. We have a first-year Sammy Logan, who's showing a lot of potential in the attacking half of the field and creating some really creative goal-scoring opportunities and drills so far. Grace Mayo, a Mainer on our team, coming in from Skowhegan. She's also going to be a track and field student-athlete, and her speed is next level. So we have a lot of really exciting opportunities up there that I think will give us some good looks early on, and we're hoping to to really see who rises as the season goes.
You know, I've noticed over the years, you're not a coach who's afraid of making changes in the middle of the season to the strategy, right?
Yeah.
So how do you anticipate this team kind of playing? And is it obvious this year, or is there going to be another season where, like, in the middle, you're like, you know what? We got to do something else, maybe.
I think we feel really confident with our structure this year. We have a lot of returning people in those positions. We recruited pretty well to fill what we need to fill. Really strong midfield line of both returners and new faces. So we're excited to run with that this year. I think where the fun's going to be had in terms of midseason shifts is going to be with some more tactical strategies and maybe just switching up how we choose to press or attack or outlet. I think that's where we'll keep people on their toes. We're really good, too, as season goes on, of playing multiple structures. So we'll have our key structure, but then we'll have one that we'll fall into when we need a quick goal, or we'll fall into if we need to keep a lead in a game. So all that's the fun part, right, as you get going.
Another key player, Rose Gordon, had a big goal last year against Williams, who you're opening up against, and her younger sister, Elle Gordon, stepping in as a first year as well. Summer Gordon just graduated, but how does Gordon kind of tree start at Bates, and are there any more after Elle?
No, Elle's the last one, and, you know, it's so funny. I was talking with her parents that move in this year, and their oldest sister, who didn't come here, she played at Sacred Heart, but she came to a camp. We used to run an overnight camp here when she was in eighth grade. Mm. So that was the first time we met the Gordons, right? And now she's in, like, meds. I think she's a practicing nurse, right? Like, she's out of grad school. And now we have Elle coming in. So it's just really, really exciting to have that family be a part of our trajectory for so long. They're the best people, literally the best people. They're just so kind. They're such advocates of Bates and Bates Fiocchi. So we love having another one. It's really cool. It's kind of funny because I think all three, Summer, Rose, and Elle, each have a unique style to their play, but you see the overlaps, and it's going to be fun to have another Gordon. And she plays kind of the similar position as Rose, as more of that defensive distributing mid. So it's going to be interesting to see where she lands.
Yeah, certainly a ton of first years on this team. Mm-hmm. So what's your main message to the first years about succeeding in college field hockey after their high school careers? Because some people might have played on grass in high school, you know, and now they're on the AstroTurf, stuff like that. What do you say to them?
Yeah, I think you ultimately have to be very adaptable in that first year, because maybe you played a certain position in high school and club because that's what those programs needed. But what we're looking for is what brings out your absolute best skill set to decide where to put you on the field. And so we're asking them to be adaptable, to maybe open up their vision to new positions. We also hope that they see themselves as a Bobcat, right? Like, whether you're a first year or senior, you're on the team for a reason. You were recruited for a reason. And there's no, like, window of time that needs to pass before you have a major role potentially. So we're just excited to see what they can bring. And they've brought an awesome energy. They're all go-getters.
Yeah, another thing about last year was so fascinating was all the shootouts the team went through, especially the NESCAC tournament. I mean, it seems like the team started to really embrace that opportunity, right? Because we went almost a decade without any shootouts, and all of a sudden, the last couple of years, we've had a bunch. What's your takeaway from that? I mean, is this a testament to how even, you know, kind of the landscape is nationally, especially among the top teams?
Yeah, I think that plays into it. You know, shootouts are really fun, new part of the game, and they're a great way when there is a tie for that long to settle it. We really enjoy them. I think our success in them is just how we function as a team. Our team loves those moments. Like, they have fun with them. They have fun with them in practice because they practice them with high intensity, but also enjoying the creativity of a shootout. Like, they tend to go into those fairly loose, even though it's a really high pressure situation in postseason. But yeah, we'll be ready for them again this year.
Yeah, certainly. And then, I mean, another player I wanted to mention was Elena Agosti, because I feel like she had kind of had a breakout year last year, didn't she?
Yeah, last 2 years she's played pretty big minutes for us. But yeah, she looks great. She just went abroad. She had an incredible experience abroad, and I think she's come back really ready for her senior year and trying some new skills on the field, and just, I think, putting all the pieces together over the last 3 years of development. So it's been fun to watch her.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of field hockey players did go abroad in the spring. I think Haley Dwight, because I talked to her in the spring, she was abroad, and she actually found a team to play for.
Yeah.
How cool was that for them to play over there in Europe and stuff?
Yeah, it's awesome. Most of them did, and they were able to meet a lot of people that way. Amy was in Prague, and she was able to connect with a former UMaine field hockey player who took her into the club there. So she was able to meet a lot of locals really early. And that's always a cool way to experience abroad, to get pulled into a team and to have kind of that instant network, that similar to when you get to college, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's great. Winning the NESCAC title is great. Defending it's hard, right? Because there's a target on your back. I mean, that is that much of a preseason kind of message? Like, you know, we're definitely not sneaking up on anybody anymore. That time is long gone, right?
Yeah, that time's long gone. Yeah. You know, I think we always acknowledge where we want to get early on the season. I think it's important to know what mountain you're trying to climb and to acknowledge where you're trying to get to. But from there, we're really just focused on that next day and what's going to get us moving in the right direction for that very next immediate moment. And the team has done that very, very well the last two seasons. They certainly have big goals. They know exactly where they want to go. But outside of saying that early on the season, they then focus on what's next.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, anything else you wanted to mention about the team this year we should know about?
Gosh, no. I hope I didn't forget anyway. I mean, we just have an incredible group of women this year. And it's a bigger roster than normal, but we're really excited for that. I think it's going to embrace a new level of competition for us on the field. And we always say we're our best competition, and I think having the larger numbers this year will just help us prepare for every game in the way that we want to prepare. So we're excited. Really great group from first years all the way through seniors. It's pretty deep, so we're excited.
Bobcats open the season at Williams Sunday at 11 a.m. instead of a Saturday start Sunday, so one extra day, I guess, to prepare. And then hosting Bowdoin. Our home opener is Wednesday, September 9th at 7 o'clock at Campus Avenue Field. Danny Kogut, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Next week on the Bobcast, we'll recap this Saturday's cross-country alumni meet and give you a full season preview with head coach Danny Feldman. Plus, a look at our volleyball, tennis, and golf programs as the fall sports season previews continue on the Bates Bobcast.